Blog Talk Radio.
Oh, you take life for sure. Life ain't something you can ramp with. Oh, come in hard in the game. The game ain't something you can ramp with. Me a player, you know. I don't play no game. Me just make money, dollars, every time. See it?
Now I cannot explain how the chain lace. Stuck with the shame I got into me. Do anything to break me. My attitude changed. Got to the point where I was driven 24-7. Money's my mission. Just a nigga trying to make a living. You bust the system with no mail. Extending their riches on scale of pieces. Hope they petrify the gym. It's hell plus all the dealers. Going a meal. Taking jealous at bitches. Player hating, but we still kick it. Always keep my eyes on the prize. Watch the police. There's so much murder. Neighborhoods getting no sleep. But still, I get my money on major. Continuously communicating through my pager. Niggas know me. Don't have no homies cause they jealous. I'm solo. Cause when I'm broke, I got no time for the fellas. Listen, ain't nothing popping by no crunk, nigga. Ain't no joke. Fuck what they say and get your dope, nigga. Happy in the game.
Oh, the bomber call him a come try to take mine. Oh, mysterious enough. I know I'm blood clad playing the game. Oh, oh, the bomber call you take this thing for you. Take this thing for you.
Well, let me shoot some of this old heavy type of shit. Certain niggas wanna stick to the game, use a trick to the game. Waiting upon your turn, so what will you learn? Ain't no turns giving, niggas be twisting and taking shit. Putting they sack down, then putting they Mac down. Me, myself, I hustle with finesse, yes, I'm an Oakland baller. Rule number one, check game. If I show you gon' respect game. Be your own nigga, meaning buy your own dope. Cause that front shit is funk shit, something I never funked with. Be true to this game, and this game will be true to you. That's real shit, disrespect, see what this will do to you. That jacking and robbing, despising your homie. Ain't healthy, niggas be in and up dead for to get wealthy. But not me though, I'm sowing something major. So what I reap is false, that's why my public status is false. Went from a young nigga living residential to a young nigga working presidential.
Oh, yeah, look good, you bet you him look good every time. Oh, puss a war, step off, I know I'm a blood clot in a fucking year. Oh, we're texting.
I'm just a young black male. Curse since my birth, had to turn to crack tails. If worse come to worse, headed for them back jails. Or maybe it's the earth, my only way to sack mail. It's all they doing dirt, man, my decisions do or die. Been hustling since junior high, no time for asking why. Getting high, getting mine, put away my nine. Cause these times come for 4-5 sales. Cause life is hell and everybody dies. What about the tickets I despise? Them loud talking cowards shooting guns in the crowd. Jeopardizing lives, shooting right between them niggas' eyes. It's time to realize, follow the rules or follow them fools or die. Everybody trying to make the news. Niggas confused, been trying to be an OG and pay your dues. If you choose to apply yourself, throw it the brain and come the riches and the bitches and the fame.
You
know what
you
did?
Did you last year we look good every time when we are beer diamond and Tupac drives in the car and fame frame him look good. You know, it's for all your car and I'm going to mark on a fear. So it's texting about morale, class. Oh. Nobody want to come test me, you know, for them to be a drive pretty car. One of party and thing, I want to come down the gun. But you see, we know, you have to show a maximum respect. When a blood clot ramp, when a foot to walk, I will look good every time. No dollars, dollars. You know about dollars then, right? So when I talk no shit, we have to walk the walk, we have to talk faith to action. Action speak louder than words. You know the record, don't blood clot see ya. Oh.
Thank you.
ballroom at the AU. We blew hay to athletes, might cake you, but you must have been mistaken with them statements that you make, huh? So they can ride out to the honeycomb, hide out. I'm show you how to wild out like Jack Tripper. Let me be Bambino on your snippers, YKK on your zipper. Lick you like a lizard when I'm slithered. I'm sober, 6 million ways to fold ya. Like Noah's, I get two of you and you get pretty cheap. But I call your ass round 80s, I know you'll be there for me, girl.
I'm back on deck with you guys with some good stuff. And tonight we got that Black Love series continuing. Will legal weed mean money for black folks? You know what I'm saying? You got all this good weed out here. We got all this legal beagle stuff going on. Looks like the United States across the country in general is trying their best, you know what I'm saying, to get it on and get it in and do what we need to do. You know what I'm saying? We got it going on. We're being powerful with it. So let's see what goes down and what happens with it. Tonight we got questions such as, you know what I'm saying, what types of life opportunities can be derived from this new industry, okay? You know, what's going to go down with it? What's happening with it financially? Okay, will this new money mean expanded opportunities for independent black enterprise? That's always, you know, saying necessary plus, because we want to be in the know. We want to figure out what's going down. We want to see what's going down. Okay, will the alleged dominant society allow blacks to benefit without impunity taking care of this business and getting this independent business enterprise going down? Also, do you think that people that are arrested in jail for marijuana sales, Mary Jane sales, do you think that they should be released now that we have all this new freedom going on and now this legal stuff that was once considered, you know, a vice of illegality, okay? And but where do we receive teach info and purchase this new craft? You know what I'm saying? And we're going to talk about current events and also, you know, what's on your mind. So you already know how we do it. We didn't got into the show. We didn't got into things. We got things going down. It's looking pretty good right about now. And what I'm going to do is just go ahead and continue to hit you upside the head with some of this old fly flavor. You know what I'm saying? I like to keep things going, keep the music pumping until we get everybody on deck that we need on deck. And we're going to see what happens with it and what's going down. So without further ado, you know what I'm saying? Let's get it on. Let's get it in. You know what I'm saying? Let's have fun with it. I'm trying to have fun. I know y'all want to have fun. This is your boy, Flossy Jeezy, 646-595-3402. So as we continue to let this thing go, you know what I'm saying? We're going to keep it rolling, you know what I'm saying? A little something like this.
All right. That's right.
Scarface always knows how to get it in and always knows how to get it on and get us up, rolling, and moving. Well, like I said, this is your boy, Flossy Jeezy. I'm in here tonight with some of this good old-fashioned, you know what I'm saying, hard-hitting stuff, you know what I'm saying, always on top of the game, always trying to bring it to you guys 1,001%. So without no further ado, like I said before, we're on this cannabis thing tonight. You know what I'm saying? It looks like a good industry. Looks like, you know what I'm saying, they're going to give a few folks, you know, who had some rough patches in their life an opportunity to kind of get it on. And we're going to find out how it goes down tonight. Commonly known as marijuana, Cannabis sativa, by numerous other names, is a preparation of cannabis and plant intended for the use of psychoactive drug and medicine. Pharmacologically, the principle psychoactive constituent of cannabis is tetrahydrocannabinol, THC, as it's better known. It is one of 483 compounds in the plant, including at least 84 of the cannabinoids, such as cannabidiol, cannabinoil, and a whole lot of other names, and it's just so weird, but I will let it roll. You get the idea. THC, high till I die, there it is. Cannabis is often consumed as a with psychological effects, which can include a heightened mood, euphoria and relaxation, and an increased appetite. The unwanted side effects can be decreased short-term memory, dry mouth, impaired motor skills, reddened eyes, and feeling of paranoia and anxiety. The temporary uses of cannabinoids for recreational or medicinal use drug as part of religious rites in the earliest reports from the date of the third millennium B.C., since the 20th century, cannabis has been subject to legal restrictions and possession. That's because they couldn't tax it and hold you up with it. Use and sale of cannabinoid preparations contain psychoactive cannabinoids currently illegal in most countries in the world. The United States deems it the most illicit used drug in the world. In 2004, the United States estimated global consumption of cannabis indicated that approximately 4% of the adult world population, which is 162 million people, use the chronic, and that approximately 22.5 million people still use it daily. Well, I used to smoke a lot, but I don't smoke as much as I used to, but, you know what I'm saying, I still get it in, you know what I'm saying, and enjoy myself with it. So basically what they're saying is that this is the chronic, it's the sticky, yicky, yicky, ooh-wee, you know what I'm saying, like Snoop said, it's the bombadoja, you know what I'm saying, it's hooch, pot, you know, call it whatever they want to call it. It has many names, but the effect is still the same. You know what I'm saying, loving every minute of it as we get it in. So, you know, we're going to continue to keep it moving tonight. We're going to, you know, embellish a little bit and have a little fun with it. But without any further ado, I want to bring in my main man from the Emerald City, my man Sugar Ray, is on deck to holler at you about some of the things going down tonight on this Black Love. Sugar Ray, what's going down?
Not much. What's happening, man? I gotta be kind of brief right now, man, because I'm in the mix of doing something, man. But I want to call in and let you guys know that I got a young brother that's gonna be calling in a few minutes to chop it up with you. He's calling out of Florida, and he got some heavy stuff he wants to share with you guys. But I'm gonna call back, and I would say probably like about 20 minutes, because I'm gonna do some things, and I'm gonna chime in on that topic that you read off to everybody.
Oh yes, most definitely. You know what I'm saying? Because we always talk about it. And of course, I'll need your insight on, you know, the bud tendering things and the different opportunities that's, you know, available to people out there. And we'll get to all that. I know you got to do your thizzle, but that's okay. We'll go ahead and hold it down, you know what I'm saying? Because this is a good topic, and we know that you guys probably have a lot of good input in on it. So I'll meet you back there in 20 minutes.
I'll be back.
All right, my family, do your thing. Okay, and here again, tonight's topics to repeat will be what types of opportunities can be derived from this new industry, okay? Will this new money mean expanded opportunities for black enterprise, and what will the alleged dominant society do to allow us to, you know what I'm saying, get it in, and will they allow us to do it? And do you think people ought to be arrested and jailed now that marijuana is becoming more legalized? And where do we receive and teach info about this new craft? So we're going to continue to get it in. We're going to continue to do our thing. But in the meantime, you know how it goes. We're going to continue to hit you in the head with some of that old school flavor that you've been looking for. We're going to discuss all these topics at length. So stay tuned. You know what I'm saying? Don't hang up. And we're going to go ahead and hit you with another smooth one from my man Tupac. Some old school for you tonight. A little bit of From the Cradle to the Grave.
Mama gave birth to a hell-raising heavenly son. See, the doctor tried to smack me, but I smacked him back. My first words was tough a lot, and Papa passed the mat. I'm busting on these motherfuckers falling. Listen, you can hear my mini folks team calling. I'm out the window on my drop top. I got my Glock hot, busting that nigga, when will it stop? Now tell me, are you scared of the dark? Can't close my eyes, I see visions. And even with the thug living, will I stay in prison? Penitentiary chances, listen, all they say. The only way to advance, and if you slain, then you better have your nights on. Cause when we fight, it's in the middle of the night, with no lights on. Hey, there must be a God, cause I feel lucky, paranoid out my mind. This motherfucker's trying to bust me, am I going to jail? Look at me bailing, coming out the courthouse, all about my mail, man. Never die, be a hustler, motherfucker. And making dubs out you suckers, from the cradle to the grave.
From the cradle to the grave, life ain't never been easy, living in the ghetto.
From the cradle to the grave, since a little
get ill and kinda rough, wow. Just like the bot that's in my walk with street talk. Go running up the block in the dark with less fuck. Surveillance on a nigga every day. Waiting on my daddy just to take his ass away. And mama always working trying to make ends meet. So now a young nigga's being raised by the streets. And then the only other man that ever showed me love was my dope fiend uncle strung out on drugs and straight thugs. Just me and my mama out here on our own. So I got two cats, one black and one of chrome. Now I don't wanna hurt nobody, but I must offend mine. It's all the fuck I got to stop and walk a thin line. Young niggas be brave and keep on thugging from the cradle to the grave, from the cradle to the grave.
From the cradle to the grave, life ain't never been easy.
I tried to fool the grace, a flash of sight. I made a kiss for many deep side hawks. And all they got was their name hit up on the wall. It's fast thinking about the times life goes on. I'm steady lost in this land, that's the war. So I got some home, don't have no friends neither. It's just me by my lonely, so I married my Nina. I keep wherever I go, I love my hoe. Never leave her without my sugar. I'm out to plug a nigga. Mama told me not to throw no punk and kick his ass if he laid a hand on me. This shit that's been on. Sometimes I think my own self stupid, cause I stay shooting that mark. Get twisted up in police reports. Since the cradle, I've been a cradle. My first point was a gun. I got sprung and learned to love weapons. But now through a money and through a street fight, somebody peel my cap and pull me in my grave.
From the cradle to the grave, life ain't never been easy.
Trapped in hell on earth. From day one it wasn't fun, I never had a grump. Had it worked two jobs and mama won't stop drinking rum. I tried to cope low, but my family's broke. And my pocket choked, so now I got the slang dope. In a game filled with pain, it's a fucking shame. The white man got a motherfucker slanging cane. So now it's open, dust to dawn, I'm getting my third phone. Always in the spot with my rock, playing rocks at the rock. The shit don't stop, I'm steady dodging cops, I never flip flop. In my Glock cop comes till I drop. And if I hit the pin, I gotta do my time. Sitting on my bunk, reminiscing about the good times. It's fucked up, a nigga gotta grow up doing dirt. But from the cradle to the grave, I'ma put in work.
From the cradle to the grave,
another day, so I pray and I lay with my AK. Did I sell my soul as a young kid? All the things I did, wishing someone helped me, but they never did. I can't take it, will I make it to my older age? Before I'm shot up or locked up in a fucking cage. Lord help me, God me, save me. Cause that's the way that daddy raised me, crazy. Do or die, nigga, pull the trigger, don't give a fuck. You'd rather be in jail than get your ass bucked. Nobody cares, it's me against the world. Keeping murder on my mind and my Tech 9. I got nothing to lose, paying dues, nigga, you wanna die. I get high, then my mission is to walk by. You better jet when I hit your set, cause I'm coming. Start running, yelling evil mind as I'm gunning. One in the chamber for the anger that I build inside. For the mothers that cried, for my homies that died. The beginning is the ending and my just a slave. So I got to be brave, from the cradle to the grave.
From the cradle to the grave, life ain't never been easy. Living in the ghetto. From the cradle to the grave, life ain't never been easy.
We finna smoke like it ain't no tomorrow.
I grab grab a Swiss of sweet and use my fingernail to cut it. Gut it, then I dump the droppings out and then stuff it full of coffee. And if you don't know by now, coffee is killer. In other words, weed affects the God as a pillar. Now the buds on the stems are like trees in an orchard. Anybody in the room who don't smoke weed is getting tortured by the smoke. Niggas choke, niggas coughing, they fart. Need to quit it, but they still trying to hit it too hard. It's the
misunderstandings about the cheap. I see ya, fine state and cannabis to be her. But I need her, big fat jilla to get me lit. I prefer to smoke the zigzags, cause Billy's ain't the shit. And I done laced it up with the Bombay Malin. Anything that you can mix with the spinach, I done tried, I done damn near died. To the real, just straight that. And if you see me blowing out smoke, you can bet it.
Don't see nothing wrong with the little reefer. You got the weed, I got the drink. Nigga, just tell me what to beat ya. I'm high, you high, let's try to get higher. Here, use my lighter, set the ass on fire. We're blowing like a choir, everybody's in line. Hoping they can get their fingers on it one more time. Because there's nothing but the party over here. That's how we do with live music, plenty bitches, cold beer, and oh yeah. So
and all that. 646-595-3402. My question, probably bigger than anything, is what opportunities can be derived from this new enterprise that we have at our footsteps, or I should say at our doorstep, as we make footsteps to the path of, you know, freedom and enterprise. You know, for the longest, you know, we've always had our street pharmacists. We've always had our folks out there that more or less, you know, got it in with the weed. We more or less had, you know, our own basic kind of co-op thing going with this marijuana. You know what I'm saying? We always was able to get out there and get at it and have it going down, have it going on. And I've always, you know, loved smoking marijuana myself. Like I said, I don't do it as often as I used to. But you know what I'm saying? I'm still happy for those who can enjoy that good weed and enjoy that good feeling and flavor from smoking that good weed and stuff. And but my theory is that we'll have a lot of opportunities derived from this thing. I mean, the state of Colorado has already had an incredible amount of money from having, you know, free cannabis. I mean, they're already almost up around $1 billion already, you know what I'm saying, making money off of this weed and stuff. Matter of fact, I'm going to bring up a little something here in just a minute, and it's going to be profits from Colorado, profits from weed. Matter of fact, it popped up before I could even get a chance to get it out there. I mean, this is incredible. Just in January alone, Colorado and Washington are the states right now with the legal process. There's many more states here in Oregon, Portland and everything, in the Salem area. We're trying to get marijuana on the ballot to get it legalized up here because of all the wonderful things that this terrific drug, relaxer, has been able to do for communities around the country. I mean, in January alone, when it first came into fruition, Colorado already benefited $3.5 million from the sale of marijuana, legalized marijuana and everything. And, I mean, it's incredible how things have ballooned and gone. Total today, just about, they're saying that they just reached $14.5 million, you know, through selling this stuff. I mean, they've got dispensaries, they've got stores, you know what I'm saying, they've got classes on teaching people, and they're actually running through a process right now where they have, you know what I'm saying, chemical labs and stuff to make sure that you're getting the right marijuana and that's being grown in the right way and everything like that. So it's incredible to see this thing happening and seeing it going down the way it's going down. My only thing is that, you know, with all this money and everything that's being shown and with all this, you know, stuff that's cracking off and popping off, it's just incredible. You know what I'm saying? I mean, a long time ago, we were told that, you know, it was illegal to have weed and that, you know, people was busted for all that. And so to me, that's why I asked that question tonight about the marijuana itself, you know what I'm saying, and the legal ramifications of this marijuana. Should we be keeping people in jail for having sold marijuana before and now everything is all legal and everything? Should we actually have people in jail for marijuana sales? And the answer I have for that is no. I think that, you know, we ought to, you know, get those people out of jail. I think that we ought to have, you know, a situation where, you know, people are out and about and able to, you know what I'm saying, enjoy their lives and stuff and benefit and profit and everything else. But, of course, you know, they always get this little thing that they do in which if you've been to jail, you know, you can, and you've been, have a felony behind and everything, you're not allowed to sell it, which means that it speaks to me that they still want to figure out a way to keep us out of the game and out of the program and stuff. And they always, just like everything else, when we were talking about wanting to legalize it, or if we ever thought about wanting to legalize it, they laugh us right out of the courtroom. You know what I'm saying? But we continue to get arrested in record numbers for this, that, and the third drugs and everything. And, I mean, it's insane. It's insane to me that these individuals would sit up and want to disallow, you know, being able to have, you know, people selling weed or have a, you know, not have us selling weed because they're so afraid that we're going to become independent. But I think that this is a golden opportunity for African Americans to get in on this thing because, I mean, they're making it legal. It's just like any other tobacco industry thing. Of course, they want you to have a license, and they want you to have, you know, all this other weird stuff, and that's kind of funny to me because, I mean, it's all purportedly supposed to be illegal, and you got people's families, you know, in jail and stuff, and you got, you know, people who shouldn't be in jail for whatever reason. I mean, it's crazy. It's crazy. I got a little shot here where I'm reading this article, and I'm going to spit it back to you real quick. It's Colorado's recreational use of weed sales. Now, this isn't medicinal. Washington State tried to come at it medicinal and all clinical and the same thing here in Oregon. But the folks in Colorado, for whatever reason, federal government doesn't seem to be going after them. Maybe it's the ski lodges or whatever that's available up there in the state of Colorado or whatever. And maybe, you know, that because of the, you know, whatever the circumstance is, they're not really jumping all over them too bad for having weed sales. But it says here that during the first month of recreational marijuana sales, Colorado issued license to dispensaries, and they generated a total of $14 million, okay, putting about $2 million of tax revenue into the coffers of the states and stuff. The State Department of Revenue released figures on what was that Monday of that first month afterwards, which showed how much they had taken, that is Colorado, from both medicinal and recreational taxes and fees. It says that the medical marijuana sales in January generated an additional $900,000. Okay? And I mean, these are big numbers and big figures that we're talking about here. You know what I'm saying? They're making a bundle off of this weed, okay? It says here that they had an additional $900,000 in sales tax and for a total tax revenue of $2.9 million for both sites of the state's marijuana dispensaries, including fees, and the figures jumped to $3.5 million. The first month of sales for recreational marijuana fell in line with expectations, says Barbara Broll, executive director of the department, and said in a statement, "We expect to clear revenue patterns that will emerge in April, and we plan to incorporate this data into future forecasts." The figures represent the tax returns from 59 businesses around Colorado, according to the department. He said the recreational marijuana tax came from two levies, which state voters approved last November, and 10% special taxes, sales tax, 15%, and excise taxes. Governor John Hickenlooper, sounds like a real stoner, recently received an announcement that he expects the combined sales from both legal and medical marijuana in the state to reach nearly $1 billion in the next fiscal year. And about $600 million of that projected is just from recreational sales. Of course, those people are going to get that bud, smoke that bud, chew that bud, cook that bud, make biscuits and brownies and batter and hash oil with the buds. You already know the deal for those of you out there. You know how to make that hash oil. It's big business, baby. It's big business. So the state stands to collect at least $134 million in taxes and fees. He said the first week of sales was robust in the state, with only 37 dispensaries open at the time. They collectively brought in roughly $5 million. He said although the initial crush of retail pot sales tapered off in January, he said the sales and tax figures are expected to remain steady for more than 150 recreational marijuana dispensaries now licensed. Okay, and more added to your list this month. It says here, through the first $40 million in tax revenue from the industry flagged for school construction, Hickenlooper has proposed that the state use the additional revenue, you know, to fund the media campaign to address substance abuse and highlight the risks associated with drug use. Well, isn't that just copacetic? You know what I'm saying? Make this money that we were once told was illegal for the regular guy to make, and now that you're able to make this money, you know what I'm saying? There you go. One moment, please. 111, you're online and on deck with me. You can speak or you can listen. Who do we have on deck tonight?
My name is Joseph as 111 because I didn't. This is 845 from the Bronx.
Oh, okay. Oh, that's my man Andrew from the Bronx. What's going on? I don't know why these folks came up with the 111, man. That's kind of crazy, man. You know what I'm saying? Well, welcome to the show, man.
Oh, what's up? My phone.
Hey. I left the thing on private or whatever. I got a that off. The block.
That's perfectly okay, my friend. You're in deck and in the building. Glad to have you. It's just me in here right now. You know what the topic is tonight. You know what I'm saying? You know what I'm saying? Will legal money mean anything for blacks out there that are in these communities that, you know what I'm saying? Because you look at it, you know how it goes now. We got folks in jail behind selling weed, and now all of a sudden because you can make money and take care of business where you couldn't before, and of course this money will probably end up being mismanaged too, it's now okay and legal to have in some states, at least for right now, and I'm sure it's going to grow once the other states, you know, as their greed levels climb to astronomic proportions, I'm sure there'll be even more states doing this thing. What do you think about that? Do you think that, you know what I'm saying, there will be money for us in our communities with this legal weed money, or do you think it's just going to keep it out there for certain folks to benefit?
Well, excuse me. I feel like, I don't know, man. So basically, the weed thing is it's something that it rings a bell with me in particularly, you know, because I was once they would categorize that as a chronic marijuana user.
Nice.
Yeah, man. Oh, man. One second. Yo, ew. Excuse me, one second. That's kind of kind of get, I'm not going to do that. Well, speaking of that, you know, I seen one of my one of my guys there from back in the day.
Oh, anyway.
Yeah, man. So basically, but it has its uses, and it's funny how you bring that up. The fact that there are a lot of people that got in trouble for that, you know, and it's you know, when if a person has the ability to let me start with what I was gonna say before, man. If everything is everything, you know, as we were talking about the other night, man, I feel as if we cash in on that too, man. I should have said that first, but whatever. Also, not only I'm jumping all over the place with it because marijuana is a big topic, man, and it has many industrial uses. You know, we can use it as fuel too, and people they are able to make clothes out of it. But of course, they don't want to exploit that aspect of it. I don't know what they're trying to do, but I know for reasons, you know, why it's being decriminalized or whatever, because they couldn't, marijuana is something that people advocate for on a daily basis, and that's just how it is, man, you know, but as far as, you know, making money off of it, yeah, of course, there's money available, is going to be money made off of it. And, like, for example, one of my friends told me that the guy, Wiz Khalifa, he's actually came out with his own strain of pot. That's an interesting too. Yeah.
A lot of green thumbs out there, huh?
You know? Yeah, man.
I think it's going to be great. I'm hoping it's going to be a great thing because, you know, we need our own independent type of enterprises and things. You know what I'm saying? Everybody else has a niche or something that they can use and become useful to them or whatever. And it would be nice. It would be very nice to see us be able to somehow benefit off of this enterprise. I mean, everybody else appears to be, you know, in the catbird seat, so to speak, to be able to benefit right away. From having marijuana around and having the benefits of it. Now, you just mentioned something that leads into the first question of the night, and that is, you know, what type of industry? Let me get myself up to date right here real quick. I'm going to change over here on the page here. Hopefully we'll get a little cooperation in the old information box here. What types of opportunities and what type of industry do you think will get derived from having marijuana being legal?
I got a plan, man. I'm telling you, man. I got this elaborate, industrious plan that is in my mind, man. I gotta chill, man. I hope everything works for the best, man. But that marijuana, I can't wait to get involved with it because coming from a biblical perspective, man, basically that plant has a lot of medicinal properties as far as when it comes to healing. And I can see personally, I started smoking pot at 17. And there's a lot of people that, like, you know, coming out of this situation, I just went to court on, All right. So basically, yeah, man, the plant has a lot of healing properties. I started smoking pot at when I was like 17. And I noticed once I started smoking the pot from 17, because, you know, I'm scientific, so I pay attention to these things. From 17 to 19, it was just different the way I put, for example, like coughs, or I would get headaches because I was smoking a lot. But I was smoking a lot of bud, man. I smoked like 7, 8, 9, 10 blunts a day, man, because I was basically, you know, around those type of people. And it was fun. I had, you know, a decent physical experience, you know, just bliss and whatever. But with that, at that point. But it has different properties, and that was one that I exploited, was, you know, the healing properties. Not only does it have the healing of being applied to the skin, it could be orally intake, but I don't think that, you know, it could be, I think it's reasonable to vaporize it, but, you know, then it brings up that issue of smoking good for a person. And in this society, there's a lot of taboo topics. That's what they call them. Call it taboo. There's this dude staring in my window, you know, but it's not right. yeah, man. And that's what it is, man. It's just that marijuana, it got a lot of problems with that healing. The Bible says it speaks on the earth. I mean, herbs is the healing of the nation. I mean, and I feel like that's something that, when put into context, will be able to help a lot of people. But the way that the laws and the stereotypes against it, you know. Oh yeah, so like I was saying, like basically, I was walking. I don't know if I was, I told you guys I was going through that court thing. Basically, I went to court on a Friday, and he told me, you know, that I'm done. Gotta move out of here, move out of the apartment by 30. I'm like, just in the process of calm myself, but if I had the sky on me, I'd be able to do all that stuff in probably like 2 weeks, man. But it's going to be a gradual thing, because I'm trying to just maintain myself, and I still got things I'm worrying about as far as, like, okay, well, I trust God, so I know everything's going to work out for the best. But I was walking, and I this is something that I came to a realization about it, just thinking about the weed, like, damn, man, what's up? But, you know, the thing with pot is, when you smoke it, it's the way it works on a person. It's, what I came to the conclusion with that is basically, but it was really insightful, man. The weed is not bad at all, man. It's not bad.
I agree with it.
Yeah, man. Yeah. It's just like, you want it. But the best way, one person, yeah, like what person feels inside, basically, is it enhances that. It brings that out more, but I don't know about that too much. I mean, it is that's a part of it, but it has something to do with, like, it's a lot of stuff, man. It's a lot of stuff. So.
For me, it always helped me with my music, you know, because I'm a beat maker, you know what I'm saying? I work in my studio stuff and everything, and you know what I'm saying? When I need inspiration, or I just want to, you know, relax back, whatever, it always seems to, I don't know, it goes into a part of your brain, your creative brain, and it does positive stuff. I mean, a lot of folks might not agree with it. They might say, well, it's something different, but, you know, it's a real mind expander, you know what I'm saying? And you know, I learned, you know, when I got older, that I couldn't really, to say it really processed the, some of the newer stuff. I mean, the stuff that we got out here now from when I was young and first smoking, it's completely different now. It's got different, you know, composites and different things going on, and, you know.
Is it actually, like, is a big difference in the way the bud is?
Oh, absolutely.
Because I don't know, like, being out here locally, you have a person has no clue where that weed is coming from or what has been done to it. Maybe they force grew it or whatever. He was just smoking, like, well, it's some weed, man. You know what I mean? Huh? I'm smoking.
I mean, bat droppings, bat urine. I mean, it all depends on what the person who's growing it wants to grow it in. Sometimes they use miracle growth. Sometimes it's a miracle that it's able to grow because of some of the chemicals and stuff they put in it. I know when you got something different in it, or when the taste of it has too many, chemicals in it, and not necessarily the proper amount of type of growing chemicals in it. So I mean, I had one guy that I definitely quit messing around when he said that he actually used, Raid spray to give it its crystally effect. You know, you got to go out and smoke some Raid and all this other stuff. That's why Seattle and some of the legalized states try to go about making it as safe as possible by having these labs and stuff like that. But, I mean, come on, man. It's not really any way you can really tell just how safe this weed is going to be when they come out of the process. You just got to kind of, trust and pray a lot that, when you're smoking it, that nothing happens to you. That for me has become the uncomfortable portion of dealing with some of the Mary Jane that they have out now. But, I mean, from a financial standpoint, I just think that if states and corporations can get their money on, I don't know how they're going to actually reasonably tax people that's doing stuff, which is why they want people to have a license so that they can basically, I've always said that government agencies are the biggest pimps and drug dealers there are. Because they always know how to peddle their drugs. They are very territorial, and they don't want you to buy your drugs from any other country. They don't want you to, have any other, methods of getting things unless it's through them. And I just don't know how they're going to be able to keep up with all that money. I don't know how they're going to be able to, reasonably keep up with all the revenue and the sales that comes off of that. But like I said, it's a very slick industry that we have out here. My pet peeve is that you literally probably about 1 million young men and women to jail over drug sales, in particular this marijuana thing. And I just think that if there's anyone who has been convicted or found, guilty of any type of crime where that's this concern, I think that you ought to gracefully and graciously as possible allow them to be moved and put out of jail, because I just don't think that it's very fair.
This is my standpoint. You're completely right, man. Basically, I can't stress this fact enough, man. I pray that this works for me. Everything happens the way I envisioned it, because the way knowing how I know this shit is, man. Whatever that means, but I feel like shit is not fair, man. And if you want to look at it from that, I completely agree with that. What you just said, like basically, the people got incarcerated for that. The first time I ever got into a situation with the cops was because I was smoking a blunt. I just came out of work. I was like 16, 17, just came out of work, and when I first started smoking bud, my man, he would be like, yo, just light the blunt, man. He was uptown, just light the blunt. And we like just stroll down the block. So I'm like, all right, so I can do this too. You know what I mean? And I'm just walking, I just over here walking, smoking the L. And Cassie and Deuce just pulled me, like, are you freaking crazy?
That's the deep to me. That's where the cancer comes from the smoking. You start mixing the Mary Jane with tobacco, you're still fully inhaling and ingesting the tobacco. And, cigarettes, I've never been too much of an avid cigarette smoker, tobacco user. But I would think that if you're inhaling the air and the chronic all the way down and you're ingesting the tobacco over the top of that, that's problematic because you are literally ingesting that in along with it. So I don't know. That's kind of a crazy process.
man. Fonta leaf. When I first started smoking, I wish I wouldn't.
So, well, you know what? Let's take a break real quick. I'm going to play a couple of joints real quick, you know what I'm saying, chronic related. And we're gonna be back here in a little bit. And hopefully, you know, we got Sugar Ray coming in with a brother from Florida and just to want to kind of add to the conversation. But right now it's me and my main man, Andrew, from the Boogie Down Bronx in the house with this black love, you know what I'm saying? Legal weed mean money for the black folks? You know what I'm saying? We'll be back, 646-595-3402, okay? So let's do this thing.
Worryly, the mind of work could be a better place. If everybody took a break and we all just get wasted.
Choked out, smoked out, choked out, pull another O-O-O.
They got dispensaries. They got, you know, classes that you go online for it. You know what I'm saying? There's just a lot of opportunity. And if you've been legal and you got any type of business sense, it's amazing. You could open up a hemp head shop. You know what I'm saying? You can open up a hemp head shop. You know what I'm saying? You can, like I said, receive, you know, classes and do the thing. You know what I'm saying? There's a whole lot of benefits to having your own independent business. Now, of course, you can, you know, enjoy the benefits of having all these different strands and strains. And as long as they keep it clean and keep it live, you know what I'm saying, you can profit pretty good off of it. It's just like selling any other tobacco. It's just like, you know what I'm saying, doing anything that that else is out there so far as the jobs are concerned. You can actually, you know, employ people. And you can actually get paid for sponsoring online classes. So there's a lot of things, you know, that we can benefit from as a community to have a marijuana being legal. You know what I'm saying? It's a fun process. And, you know, you've heard the stats. You know, there's a whole lot of folks out here. Let me read you a little something here real quick. From marijuana lease to tire for blacks and financial gains for whites. It's a story that was done in Financial Juneteenth University. Basically, it's an online subscription that you do if you want to, you know, learn about things that's going on in our community, because it's sponsored, you know, through through Outlook and through the internet. And every day I get these different postings of different financial things that is going on in the neighborhood. And the report was done by April Taylor. And as I increase the size of the screen so I can read this bad boy. Okay, that's perfect. April says that the truth is out about a producing series of radio documentary episodes around the racial disparities perpetuated in California's growing. Largely white-owned marijuana industries and thousands of minorities are serving time for marijuana-related offenses. The series is A Bitter Harvest reviews Michelle Alexander's The New Jim Crow, Mass Incarceration and the Age of Colorblindness through the filter of California's marijuana industry. The two systems create two different experiences for white and for black Americans. As the truth is, excuse me, as true out points, marijuana is the single largest agricultural commodity in California. It is a primary vehicle for the war on drugs, realized arrest and incarceration system, which has our prisons bursting at the seams nationwide. It says here that according to the ACLU, half of the drug arrests in the United States are marijuana, with 8.2 million people arrested between 2001 and 2010. Now, before I read the rest of this, you have to keep in mind that we actually sponsor, through our pigmentation, through our color, right, a very financial situation for the penal systems around the country, where most of the prisons are filled mostly with blacks and minorities compared to whites. So it's a very lucrative industry to put people in jail. Anyway, 88% of these arrests were for simple possession. The fact so many people are arrested for a drug that is becoming legal in increasing number of states is asinine. But the unnerving is how disproportionately African Americans are affected by such asinine policy. Although black and white Americans have similar rates of usage, blacks are more likely to be arrested for marijuana, right? At 3.73 times more likely than whites. He said the domination of the legal marijuana industry, white only serves to perpetuate the system of racial bigotry. So, I mean, it's crazy. It's absolutely crazy, I think, in the first place, to arrest somebody on pot charges. I've always thought that to be ignorant because, in reality, pot is nothing more, or marijuana is nothing more than, you know what I'm saying, a cigarette that gets you buzzed. I mean, you know that cigarettes kill you. You know that harm is done to you from, you know, inhaling cigarettes and with the tobacco and everything. Yet somehow, through the use of the sports machine, as they used to say, you know, a disproportionate amount of blacks are arrested for it. And, you know, it's just ignorant to me that you would arrest people over something so simple as that. But here again, it all depends on what's going on, who you are, and how you're handling the situation, too. That also has a big impact on what goes down. What bothers me, though, is that you're putting people in jail for simple stuff like possession. You're arresting people and locking them up, and you're doing crazy stuff like that. And at an even further alarming rate, you have the same other people that are out here with cocaine and all this other stuff. They're not even receiving as much time. I mean, it's absolutely crazy now all of a sudden, because basically people have gotten lazy and making money, and because they want a quick fix. I mean, the states and the, you know what I'm saying, different little, you know, counties and you know what I'm saying, bureaucracies, they're making a quick buck just like we want to make a quick buck. I mean, you know what I'm saying? They are perpetuating the same types of you know what I'm saying, need for a fast dollar to you know, put a Band-Aid on things as we would be paying our rent or doing something. But now all of a sudden, you're making it where you have to have a license for it, and all of a sudden you want to, you know, have classes on stuff, and supposedly you're running these labs that make sure the stuff is safe or whatever, when there's no real true way that you can figure out or perpetuate safety in marijuana any more than you could perpetuate, oh, I don't know, how bad it would be if you bend over enough time to tie your shoes up. There's no way to really, really figure out how good or bad marijuana is, because anything that you're doing, like the medical marijuana thing, to me is rather a joke, because anything that you ingest into your system, anything that you're putting over your lungs, anything that you're inhaling and smoking in, at some point it's going to take a toll on your body. So sit up here and, you know what I'm saying, use, you know, the penal system to kind of screw people around is just beyond me. What do you think about that, Andrew? What do you think about how they use law enforcement for something as simple as marijuana? Because obviously it's not the same drug as cocaine.
Well, you know, how do you feel that they use the same penal system to give tickets and for? I'm surprised. I'm not even going to go there, but I'm surprised they don't enforce jaywalking. You know what I mean? That's crazy. Yeah. Yeah, and basically, you know, it's a whole bunch of things, you know, I feel like, because everything is connected, man, and we're in a pivotal time in that it's information that's available, man, and marijuana is a key part of that, because when I started smoking marijuana, when I was just, you know, experimenting with it, that's when I began to realize a lot of stuff. And, you know, especially in this country, it's like everything is black and white. So,
right.
You know, and then if you smoke marijuana, it's difficult. You got to, some jobs, you got to do drug tests and all that type of stuff like that. So it's all, you know, I don't know, man. I think that anything that's good, they're going to try to keep people from discovering that. And not that I'm saying that marijuana is good or bad, but it's just, it is what it is. I mean, and it's just been proven that it's not so bad, man. Even they got patients, cancer patients, and all type of stuff to attest to that. But yet they still had these strict penalties on this type of thing. And I know the reasons to all this shit, man. I just can't really get into it too much without, you know, crossing. You know what I mean? Because when I'm ready, I'll say, oh, hey, whatever I feel like, I don't fuck, but... I'm just playing my role right now, man, because, I mean, it's real crazy, man, how all this shit is. And then, yo, man, these white people, white people, something else, man. Hey, they the ones that they need the marijuana. Them niggas is fucking bugged out. Anyway, it's crazy, man. Marijuana is gonna be a big part. I think black people we need to start taking this thing more serious and thinking about our future, man, and our destiny, our past, present, future type situation. Our present, the present is what is gonna dictate your future. So that means today, man. Tomorrow, and tomorrow being today is what's today. Monday, Tuesday, I mean, when does 12 o'clock come? Sundown is the next day, you know what I mean? So it's like we got to start doing research into all types of things, man. And it's not like, I feel like we could borrow stuff from this culture, but it's not, you know what I mean? I don't know, man. But basically,
I'm going to pick you up with that. It's not conducive to who we are, because everything that they say, they do the opposite. the only one to defecate on us, it means that we might be testing what they're doing. You know what I'm saying? It might be something where they kind of feel that. It might be something that they kind of feel that if we are able to have the freedom to do this, we might actually become independent of what they're talking about or what they're doing. And you know, they can't be the destiny thing. It's definitely the destiny thing. They don't want us to have our own independent mindset. And I think that we ought to try to figure out a way to get marijuana or whatever and benefit off of it. They want us to have the license. If you want to get the store, get a store. If you want to, you know, like you just said, get the clothes, get the gear. Matter of fact, get a bunch of polo shirts of four or five different colors and plant marijuana leaves on them and promote and do the whole thing. Because if they're doing it legal, they would do it. Anything that gives us our financial independence, I think we ought to go for it.
And you see exactly how you said earlier, man. Basically, the marijuana, It helps you, you know what I mean, when you're trying to make the music and stuff like that, or right. Musically. It shows a person certain things, man. The marijuana is alive, man. That's, you know what I mean, it's a lot of topics, man. Basically, that is an organism, it's a plant, it's alive, man. Any, like, for example, when you eat meat, the meat is decayed, like, it's, after the animal is chopped up, the meat is in the process of decay. So once you put that into your body and you internalize it, it's like you got rotting meat that's sitting in your intestines. But a plant, basically, it goes through a process. Even when you, like, say, for example, you pick a mango off the tree, that mango is still alive. It's still got, you know, cellular replication going on and all that stuff, energy surging through it. The plant world is different, and they try to, they just is not, because basically I understand a lot of things, man, as far as with the right way of looking at stuff, you know what I mean? And it's like, a lot of it we do to ourselves, being honest, because we can't even blame everything on a white man. When you blame shit, things absolutely. On people, it's like you give them your power. But the good part about it is that they can't go away. They can't get away from this shit scotch-free, because they've done a lot of fucked up shit, man. And they still doing fucked up shit the way they got stuff going on. But that just gives us the room to correct the situation. You know what I mean? And it needs to be corrected, because as we speak, man, this shit that's going on, they got statistics for everything. Oh, every 5 minutes, somebody gets raped, somebody's under, somebody gets shot, all kind of shit like that, man. And you can't blame all of it on marijuana, but that's exactly what they would try to do, man, and say it was pot. And like, for example, the thing with Trayvon Martin, oh, he had pot in his system. All this kind of stupid, crazy shit, like, this shit don't make no sense, man. And I refuse, man, to keep on with this dummy shit. Like I'm just gonna play dumb with you. Like, the fuck, no way, man. Like, so once as soon as I get this opportunity, man, I'm just gonna gotta just put it how it is, put it straight, man, and put, you know, a lot of people understand what to do, man, but it's just like, you know, they got things in a certain way, man. I'm in New York right now, so like I said, like, I was advocating for marijuana. When I first discovered pot, man, I was advocating for that shit hard, man. I was like, yo, fuck yeah, yo, I got nothing to do nothing to me. It was partially because of my culture, like, you know, Jamaicans and weed. That's the stereotype that I kind of fell into. So I'm like, yo, it was me and my weed, because when I was, you know, just doing my thing, that was that Mary Jane. Mary Jane was comforting me. You know what I'm saying? It was my comfort. I was like, yo, listen, I need this Mary Jane. I mean, you can't be trying to disrespect me all crazy and stuff like that. But it was like, you know, it showed me a lot of stuff, man. The pot is an eye opener, man, and it's an industry that they they trying to tap into because they just can't, they can't deny it any longer, man. They can't, cause, and they gonna try to, they gonna try to do, they trying to do some shit, man. Like the same way they take everything and turn it generic. They gonna try to do that soon too. We got synthetic marijuana, like the real synthetic marijuana. They gonna genetically engineer that shit and take out the THC, but it still smell like weed. Some stupid shit like that, like fucking around with these people, man. And
yeah,
it's real, man. It's really real. It's really real. But the thing with pot is that people gotta learn how to use it in this right context, man. It's good for all that inspiration and stuff like that, but we gotta not only, it doesn't take marijuana for one to educate themselves either. Yeah, I mean, but that's what it is. Marijuana is for sober mind people and it's for sick mind people. Like, but the thing is, it's like they trying to blur the lines between everything, man, by categorizing shit the way they want to categorize. Like you said, cocaine and marijuana is not the same thing. You know what I mean? And it's like, it's crazy. The prohibition, I remember when they were saying alcohol was fucked up too, but it is what it is. They had to make that stuff legal. You know what I mean? So,
they do the same time after time, yeah, with that. They figure out a way in which, because they can't control shit, try to turn it into the walking down and talking into something else, and it's not what they say it is. And if you're blind and your eyes ain't open, they hope to catch you with the eyes wide shut. And they can't do that to us anymore. And I'm telling you, they're gonna try to figure out a way. And all of a sudden, if you've been pot busted before, or if you've been in jail before, suddenly you can't sell the weed, but it's okay for us to do it because we legal, so we can sell the weed. So here's the certificate so we can monitor what we do. You're still not going to stop the street violence from doing what we want to do.
That's an interesting topic, man. I heard a lot of people asking about that, like how do I feel that if weed becomes legal, what happens to the regular street dealer? Do they, like, well, how are they going to feel about it? Are they going to go out of business and stuff like that? I think partially that's why they're doing that too, man. But I think the street dealer is always going to be in business, man. As long as there's a way, there's a supply and demand for the stuff, is going to increase. Because, like, you got, man, it's shit that I didn't see, like, yo, it's police officers that's fucking damn near, you know, selling weed.
Yeah.
For real.
Yeah. But the old comedian said, they bust you with 12 pounds of weed, by the time you go to trial, it's only 2 pounds of weed sitting there.
Shit.
You know? I can't believe you had 12 pounds of weed. Man, I can't believe you had 10.5 pounds of weed. Look at this cat, Sarge. He had 7 pounds a week. Your Honor, we busted this person with 6 pounds a week. What happened to the other 7.5 pounds? You know?
Yeah, man. So?
Yeah.
It's real. So, yeah, man, but that's an industry, man. A lot of people smoke it. That's an industry that needs to be tapped into. And I wonder how they gonna, I don't know, man. How they gonna, like, if they gonna soften the regulations on it, like, what determines if a person is eligible to get one of those marijuana cards and stuff like that. But I guess what's most important is the dispensary license. Everybody gonna want one of those, because once you got that, you can get access.
Oh, yeah.
I don't know how this shit is, man. But in New York, they just decriminalized it, man. They just did that shit too, man. Medical use, but it's only gonna be for, like, the oils, they said, some shit like that. The oils and stuff like that.
All I know, man, I'm going to figure out a way to get myself up again. I'm going to get tired with it. I don't know what the masses are going to be doing, but I don't know, man. But like I said, I don't really use it like I used to. I, you know, for like I said, for health reasons and stuff like that. That's the fact that, you know, it keeps my blood pressure right up a little bit too high and stuff. So even though I don't deal with it, I still don't mind advocating of figuring out a way that if we can take ourselves out of poverty, we can figure out a way to use to the point where we're able to make our condition better. Make our condition better now, then I'm for that. You know what I'm saying?
Because, exactly, you know, exactly, man. So that's what I'm feeling right now too. Because like I said, man, I can't smoke like that where I'm at because basically, it's just uncomfortable in the environment. And marijuana is not something to do, especially like to, oh, I'm feeling messed up today, I want to smoke a blunt. Marijuana is recreational, man. It's something that, like, yo, I'm on the top of this mountain right now, I want to smoke this blunt, man. And you know what I mean? So just, expanding. It's for your consciousness. It's for the inner person, man. It's interpersonal. It's something good, man. That's what drives me sometimes. Is, you know, I just want to, you know, smoke my weed, man, and just feel that feeling like, yo, everything is all right. I mean, that's how I felt. Like, when I was smoking a bud, every time I would light up a blunt, I felt like, regardless of the shit that was going on, I felt all right. But it was because it was an illusion. Everything was all right. It's just that you got to keep things, in this society, you got to keep things in perspective. If I was on a farm, I could smoke a blunt doing everything. I mean, while I'm picking, while I'm planting seeds and doing all that, I just smoke blunts doing the 24 hours, but it's like you got to worry about certain things, man, especially when you want that 9-to-5 thing. So that's why I've always, you know, understood the importance of being an entrepreneur. You know what I mean? I made a promise to myself that I wasn't going to be a wage slave. I mean, I was doing security since 18. I'm 23 now. So, and my security license recently expired. I said, I'm not doing that shit no more. So, whatever is going to happen is going to happen. I know God's going to make way, but, like, I'm not going to be no wage slave, man. So, the marijuana industry is something that should really be looked into, tapped into, because it has a lot of potential, especially for these people that are just looking to it for, like, I mean, what they could, profits they can make off of it, because people that actually have experience with the quote-unquote the drug, it's like, we know what to do with it, especially as black people. I mean, Hispanics do it too. I mean, white people do it. Everybody smoke weed. Pot is famous, is renowned, the plant of renown, man. Something that's very good. And I think they said, if you look it up on Google, man, I know it has over 100 purposes. I mean, so not only being able to make gasoline out of it should be enough. I mean, so that could be the base for any economy. You can start any economy. And it's green. It's a plant. So all these pretty girls, yo, I got a chill.
like you said, if you're using it as right proportions, man, for the appropriate reasons, family, I'm telling you, it could be something that can be quite useful to us in so many ways. It's incredible. But we have to, like, just like anything else, we have to tell you.
This is not just talk. Bro, yo, this is not just talk, man. We're not talking about it. This is it. Like Michael Jackson, every time he said, I would get chills. Man, this is it, man. Like, yo, this is it. I don't know what people were seeing, man. I don't know if they really think that these people was gonna. Yeah, I mean, they don't. Yo, they got a weird mentality, man. And it's not even. You can listen to all these forums and shit like that. It's not only black people that's complaining about what's going on, man. It's white people that's saying, yo, for the sake of all of us, please, y'all niggas need to wake up now, man. Because they have the inside view on what's going on, man. The people that's in power, they don't, they have no computer simulation for what it is to be in the ghetto. So they completely disconnected. They see this shit like it's filthy. Oh, these animals and rodents. We just need to get rid of everything. You know what I mean? They don't care, but they against the ropes right now because everything they doing is not working. So if they trying to default this shit, man, basically it's not gonna happen because there's a lot of people that have been through certain situations, not only economic situations, basically veterans, all types of people that are understanding of what's going on, but they need that commonality, man. And like, you know what I mean, that's just another thing that will be able to bring people to that realization that this is actually something that's feasible. Yeah, I mean, growing pot, anybody could do that. Hemp. Yeah, I mean, growing some hemp. That's easy. From
my perspective, I don't really want to see people that are airplane pilots or something like that with it. You know what I'm saying? I don't want to see people in transportation dealing with it because there was one bad Amtrak train accident that back in 78 that I can remember that went down. That means a bad thing. But so people, there's certain people that won't be able to deal with it, you know, with their own work off or. But from our perspective, which for me, because I am African American, from my perspective, and for what happens for me and for my future generations, I just want to see some type of independent business thing that we can take this thing to another level on. Because bottom line is that this the alleged, and I would say the alleged dominant fight, because I still say that we're the most powerful people on the planet. We just haven't learned how to organize and get our stuff together, not for overthrow, but just for coexistence on a meaningful level. We can figure out how to quit tearing each other down and doing dumb shit, we would actually be a lot more strong than we are. But the alleged dominant society is not going to look out for anybody of the brown skin persuasion.
I'm going to
our ass and get our act together because, see, like you said, we do things to ourselves at our home.
That's right, man. And I'm going to just be straight up. I'm looking at the purposes of a hemp right now. Well, basically, on Wikipedia, it shows you only like five uses: hemp oil, wax, resin, rope, clothing, pulp, paper, and fuel. And fuel, that's interesting that they put that in there because I wouldn't expect them to want people to know that type of information. But I know it has over 100 purposes for it. And basically, this is two things that's going to happen. They got, the best way I can describe it is, all right, we know left and we know right, you know. We know do and we know don't, you know what I mean? And it's two possible probable scenarios that could happen. And I remember I was talking about that parallel reality thing. They manifest in the reality that they want to see. They want to see people stupid. They want to see or say these things and see it happen. Like, this is not based on any fact. This is just their assumption off of they mirroring that shit onto people, and we just feeding it into the lie. I mean, and it's not the factual at all. So what two things, one thing is going to happen. Either we're going to do it, and we're going to stop talking about it, and we're going to do it, which is just 1, 2, 3, just like that. I mean, like I like to say, it only takes one person to change the whole world. I mean, every individual contributes to their community, to the grace of God. Is not just one person, so you don't got to put that much strain on yourself. But as many people that would be able to be willing to contribute to something that, you know, they see is growing, they see is moving, and they want to help legitimately. And basically, then the other thing is, even we gonna make it, we gonna push it, we gonna make it work, or they gonna do it for and they not, you, people not gonna like the way they do shit. All right, I'm telling you right now, because either way, basically, since every, fuck it, man, the cat's gonna have to come out the bag eventually. at the age of 17, man, when I first started smoking bud, I knew it, man. That's when I started seeing shit. I'm like, yo, I need a place where I could chill and just try to, you know, just wait this shit out a little bit and just try to, like, contemplate, you know what I mean, from 17. You know what I mean? And I just, you know, walking around acting stupid and all that shit, just fucking around with everybody, like, oh, yeah. But at the same time, I'm telling them, like, yo, listen, this is what's going to happen. Listen. This is what they trying to do. But niggas was looking at me, a gentleman was saying things like, what are we going to do about it? We already know this stuff, but what are we going to do? But I couldn't understand what they were saying. And basically what they were saying was, you know, they have the information they equipped, but it's like, it's so much one person is up against. You know what I mean? So it's like, unless you got a plan or some type of strategy, it's difficult. And it's like, I had this understanding for myself because I was like, I can do anything. I was very naive, man. I went through some shit. And I was like, all right, well, it's a little bit different. It's a little bit harder than I think. You know what I mean? And it's not at all, but you need people. You need help. Everybody need help. And basically, what I was talking about, oh, yeah, man, like, so I was like, yeah, let me just try to, like, see what's going on, man. And that's, you know, I played my role and stuff like that. And it came into interact. Oh, man, I should have just said it straight up. I guess that's how it's supposed to be because, oh, man, it's because there's a lot of distractions in my environment, basically. I'm looking out the window and shit. Stuff. But, and I played my role, man. I was looking at stuff, watching the TV, how these people talk, and just doing research on certain things and trying to figure out how to, I don't know, because I'm talking about it in advance, so I'm trying to say it from the way I was looking at it from when I was 17. And it was real. Anyway, so, and, hey. You know, I just, I got an insight into the way things are. I'm way off topic, but all this stuff got to do with marijuana, because it was when I first started smoking a blunt, man, that's when all that stuff. Yeah, I started looking at stuff like that. But basically, you know, it's like, if they was able to do 9/11, you know what I mean, and, or whatever, 9/11 happened before people's eyes, you know, what else would they, are they willing to do? So that's how I was looking at it, you know what I mean? So I was like, let me just chill. I was smoking weed. Just smoking weed and reading books and on a computer smoking weed, and basically the weed part that didn't really have much to do with it, but they kind of forgot. They was just like, fuck it, we could do whatever because ain't nobody ain't looking, ain't nobody yeah. watching. And they was just running chop, man, making all these laws, doing all these things, and doing all kind of crazy shit. And then it was like, at a certain point, they just bumped into a brick wall. I remember, yo, man.
Oh, one of these days, I bring our boy in real quick. We'll bring our boy in real quick from Seattle. The thing, it's the Sugar Ray Robinson going down.
Hey, what's up, man? What's happening? What's happening, guys? What's happening?
Hey, Mr. Ray.
Hey, what's up? What's up? All
right.
It's not my favorite subject, man, but it's one of the subjects.
You already know. Yes. Well, you know, we ended the night with that boy Glove, but of course we asked him the question, man, you know what I'm saying? Will legal weed, you know what I'm saying, mean money for black folks? What do you think about that topic tonight?
Will it be for black folks, man? Only thing I can say is, man, on that level is, man, it depends, man, because right now
That situation is suspect, man, because I don't know how many guys have been locked up for marijuana or whatever. I don't know if they're free yet. And then at the same time, I don't know how well in the industry is it doing for us, man, because at the same time up here, they're legalizing it in states that are basically the population, it's not that many of us. But at the same time, I think that people need to understand, man, that there's different things in this game, man. I got a real bad echo right now. I don't know what that is.
I don't have two apparatuses working at once here. Yeah, okay, I think we are right now.
Yeah, and see, the thing is, man, it's like, man, those guys, man, I talk to people, and they got up here in Washington State, you know, where it is supposedly legal, but there's a lot of different things about it, man, because there's a lot of complications, a lot of stuff that's going on, but if I go to every spot in here and I look at every spot, it's ran by white folks. You know, we don't have no hands in it. Mm-hmm. So I was thinking to myself, let me try to go the route, let me try to see what I can do. So what I've done, man, I took up this online marijuana school, you know, just to get the knowledge of it and just understand about, you know, maybe being a bud tender or maybe being a certified grower, you know, all the different things that go with it. You know, even a cook, man, because they got cannabis cooking and stuff. They got all kind of extractions and different things going on with it. But I don't see how it benefited us so far. You know what I'm saying? Because, see, the thing about it, what people don't know is, though, way back in the day when they were saying that it was legal, they were saying that it was a drug that we smoked. They said it was something that we was always high on. You can look it up, look in your history. They used to talk about us real bad. They said that marijuana, that we used to always be under the influence. You know, we got free about 1930s or whatever. And they basically came off and they was disrespecting us real bad, man, saying about marijuana this, marijuana that. They was talking about all the bad stuff. So what I'm saying is, though, is that marijuana and all the stuff, man, if you look back, man, it was some stuff that we basically already knew and already had knowledge of. Right now, they just now legalized it, and they still don't even know. They know, but they don't want to explore it. They don't want to let people know. They want to kind of like see how they can get money out of it while they were too busy locking us up or petty stuff like that. It's funny how they lock us up so something is called so petty and they call it so bad. But right now, all of a sudden, they want to legalize it. So the benefit of it is kind of up in the air for us.
Because, man, it's like you saying you want to make, it's like saying a person wants to make broccoli illegal. And that's what he came to the conclusion with, like the man was saying, you know, you don't want to have somebody flying an airplane smoking pot or driving a train smoking pot. Neither would you want to have them drinking beer smoking behind an airplane or behind a train, whatever. You know what I mean? So that's just something that needs to be put into perspective, man. And just like up to recent, these were things that is the same that was going on, man. People were just running, chopping, and thinking they could do whatever with anybody. You know, and every now and then you could look on the computer and see a video where these white cops shit out of some person. And I got this myth or this rumor about a police state and all this other stuff like that. And that's what it is.
Yeah. Well, Sugar Ray, I was just kind of wondering because, he done popped up. He done hopped off the wire. I don't know what happened. I'm sure he'll be back in a minute. I was going to run him through a series of questions that we have because it's definitely one of those kind of things, family, where, you know what I'm saying, I like the way your perspective works because you're saying that you don't really want to, you know what I'm saying, uh-oh, what happened here? What, he leave too?
cut up everybody?
Something happened. Hopefully they'll call back in. You know what? We're going to take a quick commercial break. You know what I'm saying? Play a little something smooth for y'all while I find out what happened to the guests. I don't know what happened. Something went down. We still alive. So that's a good thing. And like I said before, we'll get it all figured out in the mix. Oh, there we're back. There we're back. We're back there. So I'm gonna hit y'all off with something. And when we return, we're gonna ask more questions and answer more factoids and. You know what I'm saying? We just going to generally kick it when we get back. My man from New York, we'll catch you on the way back. Something happened on the lines that I think that cut y'all off, but we'll be right back.
Yeah. About to put it to them. Some ghetto slick shit.
Thank you.
cloud in my brain. What the fuck am I zigzag in my life? So I can roll it and set it on fire. Damn, I wish I had scissors, cause this shit is so sticky that it's hitting on my fucking finger. But it's smokeable, double chokeable. I got the one hit that quit a Bombay shit that's chokeable. I wanna do a joint venture. Let me make sure there ain't no lump in the gut.
A lot of people don't realize if you're smart about this thing,
and if you, as they say, if you're on your toes, you can actually get in here and really benefit off this situation with this, you know what I'm saying, with this Mary Jane thing. I mean, you know, I know that a lot of the you know what I'm saying, alleged dominant society is into it, but at the same time, I think that with a little bit of patience, and like you said a little while ago, you phrased it just right. If we just use a little bit of smarts in our program, you know what I'm saying, and concentrate on what you're doing, you could actually get in where you fit in, and you know what I'm saying, make this shit happen. I mean, seriously, you could you know, profit real well. You know, maybe, you know, for training, you know, maybe go work for a dispensary for a minute. See how you
if I may interject on that. I'm gonna be honest too, man. This, if you really want to know the implications of this is the first industry in a long time that black people can get in and own it. It's pure. It's totally organic, and it can be produced in mass. You know what I mean, quantities, because it's not like we going to try to find rubber, or we going to pick cotton, or we digging for gold. It's a you know what I mean. So this is some, if it's done, like you said, if it's done intelligently and properly and in the right manner, this is something that could really be an eye opener.
As far as away about that, man, because Sugar Ray has got a good inside track mentally on where to get it in, where you can fit in on a too short level. You know what I'm saying? What you think about what my man said right here, Sugar Ray?
What's that? I didn't get clearly exactly what he said. What he said about it, it's a great industry to get in.
Yeah, man.
What I was saying is, you know, basically with the hemp is organic, so it's something that can be produced easily in mass quantities, very abundantly and quickly. It's not like, you know, plastic or rubber, things that we have to mine for or pick, like cotton or anything like that. Even though cotton is organic, is an industry that can, but cotton can only go so far. Well, from the way they use it, I mean, but pot has a lot of, you know, supporters to it. I mean, people use it recreationally and its medicinal purposes. White, black, Chinese, it's some that, because especially, you know, Bob Marley was a big supporter of pot, so it's something that could be used for black people, man. Like my mom is black. I think his mom was white or something like that, but he's black. Shit, they're not going to speak everything, man. Shit. Trying to claim this and claim that. But, I mean, you can't be, you know what I mean? They just doing what they know how to do as business, man.
Oh, yeah, no doubt about that. Yeah, marijuana, man, you can do well about it, man. The thing about it, what I try to tell a lot of dudes is, man, is that, you know, there's different levels to this game, man, to marijuana. Because think about it, man, the people have to understand that, you know, marijuana, man, is like, there's so many different kinds of marijuana. That's one thing a lot of people don't know. Because everybody think about getting high and that's it, and that's all they think about. But they don't understand that it's a medication. It's a situation to where it could benefit in so many different ways, and they have so many different ways of using it. Like, say, for instance, like, if you so happen don't like smoking stuff, you also could do it by eating it. Or if not that, if you don't want to eat it, they have oils and stuff that you could use that help your skin and things like that. And also, at the same time, they have a vaporizer that doesn't vaporize your whole entire place, man, to basically relax. So when people come in your place after a stressful day, they will come into a relaxation mode, step in your house and be on some chill status. You know what I'm saying? Yeah, that's some good stuff, man. Because a lot, and see the thing about it, one thing that guys that dudes need to understand is that when I say it's different levels to this game is that when people say, oh man, we can dispensary, oh, weed legalized. Well, that's great, man. But the thing about it is though, it's not like you can go just run to a damn store and say, hey man, just, I want some weed. You can't do it like that, man. That's not the type of way of doing it because this is a profession. This is a professional type of way of doing it. And see, the thing about it, man, it was hurting a lot of blacks, man, hurting us a lot, is that they're trying to figure out laws on how to do it, and they're still controlling all the situation, which is fine. But we can get in that industry and we can control ourselves. And the thing we could do about it is we can specialize in having certain parts, we have to get certain fields, certain space, certain land to where we can be able to harvest and grow it. Or certain people that may be able to grow it in certain houses and stuff like that. And then have the growers, we need to have the distributors, we need to have the buyers, the dispensaries, and the customers. The customers are going to come, but the customers need to be re-educated on how to deal with it and what to deal with it for, because there's two different stages of it. There's the sativa and there's the indica. And it's something to get you hyped and something to get you relaxed, but you have to get it for different things, like different grams and all, so they break it all down. Because think about it, you have to come up there and you just can't up there. You can't just come up there and just say, I want some weed. You have to basically come up there and say, I like to have cannabis sativa. Or if I'm having a problem with sleeping or whatever, I want the indica or whatever, you know, some type of stuff like that. And then after you say that, there's different strains of it, different types, you know, different names, different grams, you know, different stuff like that. You know, different strains. If you're in something that's really strong, something that's really moderate, something that's really, you know, different things like that, you know. And then you have the edibles. There's so many different ways to it, but it's just that the problem is, man, is that people need to educate themselves and understand that this is more than just a party thing. I mean, weed is great, but that part of just to have it, to kick it, you need to take it to another level of the medication of it, the educational part of it, so you can do it to the point where it's not, so you can get the full impact of it. See, the blunts and stuff like that, I wouldn't necessarily do blunts, man, because the reason why blunts is a problem is because if blunts, the rapping and everything like that, and also at the same time, you know, sometimes it'd be laced up with the tobacco and all that kind of stuff, so you're not really getting what you need. And people think, oh well, I'm still getting high. Well, it's not about getting high. If that's what you want, you can get high off anything. I mean, shit, you sit around watching the news all day, you get high off watching TV. I mean, seriously. But what I'm trying to say is that to actually be medicated for whatever, like if you got pain or some aches or type of situation that's bothering you, or you have sleeping problems, or you snore, or you have any fucking thing that's a problem, tell me, man, marijuana would do something good for you. You have an eating problem. You smoke the right marijuana, man. It will get you. It will fix all that. It's real shit, man.
Right, Mr. Robinson. You're right, man. Basically, it could. The marijuana could be. You could rub it on your skin too, man, and all that. So. And there's a lot of people that have suffered from chronic joint pain and stuff like that, and they could use it for that. But the way it's being portrayed and it's being withheld from the public, that's when you get into the realm of a whole different topic, man. So the implications of what needs to happen is right in front of our faces, because you can't just force everybody to do pharmaceuticals, because it don't work for everybody.
Right. Yeah, it's a
I really personally believe I think it's a great business. I think it's an opportunity. If I would advise any person out there that wants to get into it, is educate yourself on it, look into it, study it, and get to the point where you know a lot of it, and the best way to do it is to get in the industry. And people say, well, how do you get in the industry? Well, one of the first things to do is basically educate yourself on the dispensary that you regularly go to. Get casual, get cool with the guys, and conversate with them. But the thing is, if you want to talk to them, is you want to say, hey, man, I want to be a bud tender. Not a bartender, a bud tender. And the thing about it is, oh, okay, well, we have that. And the thing about it is, you gotta share your knowledge of it. When you have your knowledge of it, and they're gonna be over like, wow, you know a lot about this, and you know about the laws and stuff. You can have an opportunity to be a bud tender. So when you get behind that situation of being a bud tender, you in, and then from there, that's when everything else starts to set in. You'll learn everything. You'll learn all about the names, the titles. You can get. They got apps out right now. That you can go in there and apps. You can go in there and look at apps and things like that. You probably look at it and it'd be overwhelming, but you have to understand. Same thing on a bartender. It's overwhelming as a bartender because all those drinks when you try to study for a bartender. Think about this. You can familiarize yourself by learning whatever you can, but keep this on your mind. The customer doesn't know shit. So when they come in there, you already have a jump on them. You don't have to know all of it. You just learn as you go. And as time put in, it all marinates in your mind. You start to learn it, and then from there you go to be a grower and everything else. And next thing you know, you own your own dispensary, man. That's when you're doing your thing. You know, end up the business, and that's when you can hire your own black and make it a black business, man. And get to the point where that's when you start to do. That's when you have some power, man, because education on this shit's big.
Yeah, man. That's a big part of it, but also another part of it is having good business partners, man, a good business partner. I mean, that's what it is, man. But, I had to learn about that too, man, indica and sativa. I didn't know about all that. So education is a huge part when it's talking about marijuana use.
Yeah, it is, man. You know, it is, man. But that's some brothers out there that do it, man. But it's like me, man. I'm just right now. I'm just a sponge, man. I'm absorbing all this juice, man, and trying to get all this, man. I can learn. So when we have a conversation on any level, I want to know it. If I don't know it, I will tell somebody. Because if I don't know something, I don't know it. But I'm still learning too.
Off the opportunities,
man. The legal aspect of it is what it is, man. You gotta have the footwork too, man, foot soldiers and all that, because, man, at the rate that stuff we moving at a rate where we have to basically catch up, surpass, and win. I mean, win is a relative term. I don't like using winning and losing. Oh, man. Everything, man. The absolute is what it is, but it's like, that's how it is on this linear frame of the way we perceive things, you know what I mean? And it's like, that's what needs to happen right now, man. Because got to take him the time it takes to grow the stuff. So
that's amazing, Cheryl. Yeah. You can't get an answer to some of the initial questions that I was going to ask, you know, and that was what the type of opportunities that can be derived from the industry. You answered all those things. That's amazing that you could do that. I guess another question I would ask is, will this new money mean extended opportunity for independent black enterprise?
Man, I think that, man, listen, it's a myth. the way they use all these, they say, okay, man, oh, we need a stimulus package for this and that, the infrastructure for roads. Black people don't need no roads. We don't need no we don't need no bridges and none of that shit. Man, what black people need is a boost, man, a jump start, a kick start. What it would do, man, basically, it would bring a whole nother realm of possibility and probability for a dwindling situation, as in clothes. They're giving cheap clothes. We'll be able to donate clothes. You'll be able to do a whole bunch of things with making different types of fashion styles and statements. The fuel thing is possibly gonna have to be used in a different context, because with that, then you have to a person has to compete with the oil industry, and once you dip into the oil industry's pockets, then it is something else. That's when they want to come against you with campaigns and shit. So as long as it's kept in perspective, man, it's to enrich the black community. It cannot, no one can stand against that, because that is what needs to happen. We need, and they, you know, it's like you basically going to tell a person, well, no, you can't enrich yourself, you can't develop yourself. And that's not going to happen, because I'm black. Ain't nobody going to tell me that I can't learn. I mean, we're gonna withhold these funds from you because we can, or whatever they're gonna say, man. Or whatever reasons not allowing that type of development to take place. But like the gentleman, Mr. Robinson, said, education is a key point. The reason why a person is able to take a stance in that manner is because of having that power, that knowledge, and understanding of certain things, not only business laws, but natural laws as well. Because in most contexts, the natural law trumps business law, man. But they know some loopholes and stuff they be talking about. So it's only fair. But yeah, man, as far as, you know, bringing jobs to the black community, that would be very uplifting, because yeah, it has many implications. Imagine that, man. You start up a whole new, like a Foot Locker franchise just off of a hemp product. I mean,
yeah, you can, man. It's doable.
It doesn't take that long. The first yield, if this project was to start beginning of August, say August 1st, the first yield of crops within 6 to 7 months. The first yield of crops would begin to be happening within January. And when you're dealing with that's the first quarter of January. When you're dealing within that realm of finance, it's mass production. So when January comes, your crop is ready, you're ready. I mean, and then February, March, April, depending on how a person markets themselves, by April, second quarter, springtime, come around again. You ready for that whole new wave, man, that new wave. But in the meantime, it's all about development. That first wave that comes out of oils, medicinals, soaps, ropes, or whatever, I mean, soaps and jeans, that's all one of it. The second wave will be the sativas, the different strains. Then you have people that's in the industry that's going to gravitate towards that. They want to help branch your business out even more. But this has to happen at a rapid pace. That takes a determination and a certain seriousness about that. Got to be, you know, real serious about it. This is not something, I mean, it's not a passive thing. I mean, again, man, it's competition, but there's no competition. Well, you are your only opposition. Yeah, man.
That of course, leads into the next one. Sugar Ray, as well as Drew, will the alleged dominant society allow us to benefit with this without impunity? And, you know, they're good for roadblocks, but they wrote the book on roadblocks. Do you think they'll actually let us get into this thing as the independent, because our whole goal here is to become independent business. Do you think that the Ledger Governance Society will allow us to get in and run this thing independently on our own without getting a thing?
That's a legitimate question that I ask myself almost all the time. But like I said, man, this is a pivotal time right now where they don't have a choice. They can't force this hand this time, because this is something that is out of their control. You know what I mean? As far as the way certain things work and operate. Because there's many aspects of society that they can't control, but this marijuana thing, they've done research. There's research on both sides to prove that not only is the pot, the hemp, had not only does it have recreational properties, but it's beneficial to the well-being of a person. So if you want to have constructive members of your society, you should be able to allow them to have access to things that make them feel better and want to work, you know, and do things for themselves. So this is not even an arguable topic. The thing that you have to concentrate on is the strengths and weaknesses of the product. And the only weakness that this product has, which is none, but one of relevance of concern, one thing of concern to be weary about is the stigmatism or the stereotype that is the plant has taken up because of the misunderstanding of how it's used. I mean, and that can easily be defended. That's something that can easily be defended. I mean, and it doesn't even have to, because you don't want to go down that route. You just want to do something. You want to do it right with all the legal things and let it be a success. And when it's a success, then that's when they're going to try to come and buy it out, like Facebook and all the other stuff. But this is something that needs to be taken into consideration, because it's not like it's an industry that's not already, I don't want to get too crazy on it, man, but it's not like it's not an industry that's already, it's booming, man. It's marijuana is booming. Basically, this is something that black people could take for themselves, man. And not to say it like that, not only black people, but by benefiting ourselves, we also help contribute to this society. You know, bettering ourselves, bettering our property values and all that kind of stuff like that.
Like you said, doing something we love to do. Yeah, that makes a lot of sense. Well, Sugar Ray, I asked for that earlier, and it's a valid question. Do you think that the people that were arrested for pot sales should be released in the states where they're making this stuff legal? Because it's kind of hypocritical to keep people in, even though it wasn't going on during the time. Isn't it kind of silly and hypocritical to have people busted for something that you're now making legal?
Yeah, man, to be honest with you, man, I think everybody should be legal. I mean, free when it comes to that. If it's because, you know, if it's, see, what I don't understand, man, that's why it kind of turned me off about these laws about that and the government, how they do things. See, why is it like I'm in Washington and it's free? I mean, it's legal. Somewhere it's legal. Because, I mean, you can walk down the street and smoke weed down here. I mean, cop pull you over. I mean, he ain't going to waste his time. I mean, what are you going to do, give you a $27 fine? I mean, please. I mean, that's it. I mean, $27 fine. But what I'm trying to say is, here in Washington State, it's legal, but you go down to, like, Louisiana or somewhere else like that, it's illegal. And that's a problem to me, man. Because the thing why I say it's a problem, I thought we were the United States. You know what I'm saying? Where's the unity in that? Because, so, they should all be free. You know, I mean, it should be to say, hey, right now, it's legal in one state, so it should be free in all states. And it's kind of backwards, and that shows you how stupid they are. They don't know how to do it, and they don't know what to do. Even here in Washington, they still don't know what to legalize. They still don't know what they're doing. They,
man,
they,
They're still trying to figure out how they can get money off of it. And it's ridiculous, man. But the thing about it, though, is that they're messing with it and they're toying with it, but what they don't understand is that they should just let it be and just let it go because, for one, people are going to do what they're going to do. That's not even a problem, man, because it's not hurting nobody. I mean, if your doctor tells you to go and take this because it's an alien, your arm's hurting, or you're talking about this can help out with cancer, then why waste your time on trying to battle with it, you know? I don't understand that, man.
Let me read a little something to you that I read to Drew earlier, and it's a story by a young lady named April Taylor. And it's through Financial Juneteenth that comes out. It's I got to send you the link for them. It's Financial Juneteenth, and it's Breaking the Chains of Financial Slavery is the subtitle for the page. And what it says marijuana leads to prison time for blacks and financial gain rights. It said Truth Out is producing a series of radio documentary episodes around the racial disparities perpetuated in California's growing. Largely white-owned marijuana industry and thousands of minorities are serving time for marijuana-related incidents. He said the series, A Bitter Harvest, reviews, and probably could get it on YouTube, but A Bitter Harvest reviews Michelle Alexander's The New Jim Crow, Mass Incarceration in the Age of Colorblindness through a Filter of California's Marijuana Industry. These two systems create a different experience for white and black Americans. As Truth Out points out, marijuana is the single largest agricultural commodity in California and its primary vehicle for the war on drugs, racialized arrest, and incarceration system, which has our prisons bursting at the seams. According to the ACLU, half of all drug arrests in the United States, which is what you were just saying, right, with a total of 8.2 million people arrested between 2001 and 2010, 80% of these arrests were for simple possession. Okay, that's willies and nothing like that. Just simply having it on you. The fact that so many people are arrested for a drug that is becoming legal in an increasing number of states is asinine. But what is unnerving is how disproportionately African Americans are affected by such an asinine policy. Although black and white Americans have similar rates of marijuana usage, blacks are 3.73 times more likely to be arrested than whites for marijuana. This domination of the legal marijuana industry with whites only serves to perpetuate a system of bigotry. And so, in other words, I could have just read the title and just had it over with. I wanted to put those extra stats in there, but it's true. You got a lot of abuse, and people got a lot of family in jail for just simply, having the bud. I mean, even if it was an ounce or whatever. I mean, it's not like I say if you're going to punish somebody, or restrict somebody. Maybe not the punishment, but restrict somebody. Let it be somebody like an airplane pilot or an engineer on a Amtrak train or something like that, because you have people's lives in your hands. If you're just a simple run-of-the-mill dude going to school or doing your physical or whatever, or working somewhere, you shouldn't really go through this type of, judicial thing. And I've seen people with cocaine possession charges to get less time than that, and meth and everything else. Far worse things. But what do you think about that? I mean, here again, it goes back to the question, do you think these people that have been arrested like that, do you think they ought to be released?
Oh, yeah, no doubt. No doubt they should be released. I mean, at the same time, that's the thing. They shouldn't even be on their record. But the thing about it, that's the question, because if they do release them, I want to know is it on their record. That's a good question, because I'm going to have to ask a few people around here. Is there somebody around here who has that on their record, a felony or something like that, because they use that, man, to hold people back, man, and that's a slap in the face, man. Just think about it, man. after you've been through so much, man, you've been going through so much, you got this on your record as a your felony, a felon, because you can't, because you have because of marijuana, and you can't get a job for years. You couldn't make money for years. You couldn't get nothing for years because of this felony on your record. It's all due to marijuana. And all of a sudden, it's legalized. That's a slap, man. That's a diss. And you know how you, and you know who get the butt of that diss? Who get really fucked up because of that? It's because black people get messed over there. You know, Hispanic people get messed over there. Poor people get messed over there. Because people smoke weed, because a lot of people smoke it because they're going through some stress. They're going through some shit, man. They want to, they need something to take them away. And a lot of people have misconceptions, man. I hear a lot of people saying, oh, man, it burns brain cells and all that. I hear a lot of people say a lot of different things, and people just don't have a understanding of what it is. Straight up. And, yeah, they should be free.
Get out of jail. When they get out of jail here in Oregon, even though they haven't even legalized it yet, they're saying that they won't be allowed, I think in Washington, too, they won't be allowed to work with marijuana because they won't be jailed for it. Now, wait a minute. If it's legalized and they didn't get out of jail, they didn't serve their time and pay their dues, and when the rules of engagement change once they get out of jail, why the hell should they still be under that legal hammer? I don't understand that. That doesn't make any sense to me. You know, I mean, that's crazy.
Yeah, it's very crazy, man. It's very crazy. I'm going to find some information for you. I'm going to trip you out. Go ahead. I'm going to find some right now. I'm going to trip you guys out. But yeah, man, that situation is crazy, man.
Now this is one that you already told us about.
Down the phone, I was talking about.
Go ahead.
Now I'm gonna say this to you right quick. If you get, I want to say this to you.
Yeah, I don't want to. With no court, I'm thinking like, yeah, I mean,
hello.
I'm still here.
Yeah, I want to say in Utah. I want to say this right quickly, if you have time, man. In Utah, children are taking cannabis oil to Capitol Hill, man. They going to talk about it because they have a situation in Utah where the children and the parents began a crusade, man, for the use of cannabis oil to treat kids with epilepsy. In total, three Utah doctors have proclaimed the utmost support for the oil as medical treatment for suffering children. See what I'm saying? See, there's things that this stuff do. It's the oil. What people don't know, man, is the oil, man. There's so much that goes on with this stuff, man. You can't. In other words, man, to actually make clothing and stuff like that, you have to have hemp. Hemp is part of, you have your underwear, cotton, whatever. It's hemp and all that kind of stuff, man. It's hemp and everything, man. It's the fabric of America, man. Paper, you use paper, man. I mean, a lot of stuff you do writing and stuff on in schools is made out of hemp, man. You know what I'm saying? And so you have to understand, man, that it's been going on a long time, and they know that, man. But they still lock people up for smoking something that not even you could be addicted to, nothing that could really have no trace of killing or anything foul about it. But people lock you up for that. But now they want to legalize it. See how dumb they are?
Straight up. I mean, that's a legitimate topic to bring up when the time comes for that, because it's like, first, we need some type of, as people, we need some type of financial standing first to even come to the forefront to be like, and to say, represent ourselves and say, like, which that was wrong. In accordance with slavery and other things that happened, I mean, that's wrong. I mean, and it's like I said, man, just like, One step at a time.
Yeah, you know, the thing is, man, is just, Just basically, man, just schooling yourself, man. Grooming yourself, teaching yourself, and just get your game tight, man, and be able to go in there and talk to these people. Because the thing about it, worse than anything, is, man, be able to talk to you. Can't talk to nobody about marijuana if you don't know about it. Because I guarantee right now, man, that you can go to any, now I can't say any, and I can't say every either, but you can go to a lot of people out there, man, and talk marijuana to them. They have no idea about a lot of things because all they can do is smoke weed. They don't know what they smoking. All they know, they smoking weed. They don't know the type of strain. They don't know what they don't know if it's sour diesel. They don't know if it's purple kush. They don't have an idea of what they're doing. They're just smoking. It's laced up with something. They don't. It's just one of those things, man, education, man. Then you don't know the laws, like I just told you, by walking down the street smoking marijuana. People around here don't know that if a cop still go up to you, he can't do nothing more to you but give you a $27 fine. He can't do nothing to you. A $27 fine? Come on, please, I'll take that any time. I mean, that's all. But if you think a cop gonna waste his time, really? I mean, seriously. But, I mean, if you're a youngster, that's a different situation. But, I mean, a guy like me, if I'm walking down the street, I can fire up a blunt right there, or fire up a smoke out a pipe, and be good all day. Because I know my rights.
Is a new fit a great fit for you?
Oh my. Do you think my back is fitting it?
Definitely.
Also, could you come?
That's how they try to cut us off.
What
was that? A little audio defilement, you know what I'm saying? Maybe Illuminati, just like we were talking about. But we're back. hey, man, real good conversation tonight, real good details on everything. And I guess, oh, man, there's so much going on in the news tonight. There's so much, you know, I wanted to get into some of this stuff. I guess we could save some of it for tomorrow. But I heard a crazy story today. That folks, 646-595-3402, that pretty much concludes the news for today on the legal weed money. You know, can blacks benefit? Can we get a piece? Can we get a couple of quarters of a dollar? You know, can we make a dollar out of 15 cents? Can we get it in? You know what I'm saying? That's what we're doing right about now.
Yes. Yes, completely.
Yes, we. I'm going to play one quick joint for you, and then when I come back, there's a couple of news stories. I don't know if you guys heard about them or not, but shit gets real crazy real fast. And, you guys aren't going to believe some of the stuff that's going on. I don't know if you heard about them or not, but we'll talk about them when we get back. But in the meantime, let me give you a classic real quick. And I'll probably just play one joint this time because, well, you know, we're running low on time. But a little something to go along with tonight as we sit back and chill out and eat on it.
Main thing, she makes me feel alright. She makes me feel alright.
tell you, there's nothing like a classic. Oh, Rick James on him.
Woo!
Hey, you fellas still out there?
Oh, yeah.
I want to give about, maybe a 20 or 30 second moment of silence. It was July 1st, 2005, 9 years ago, that on this day, we lost Luther Vandross, probably one of the greatest R&B singers, if not the best R&B singer of all time. So we're going to give him a moment of silence for him. Rest in peace, Luther. You know what I'm saying? You were definitely the man. And Sugar Ray, I've already slated him into possibly tomorrow night. Maybe nothing else is planned. And maybe doing artist number two. Last week we did Nasir Jones. You know what I mean? And did a little something for him. I think Luther would probably be a real good shot because there's a lot of material. He had a lot of good music. I'm sure it generated a lot of children. It was some of that cool old school that he had going right there. So we're going to keep it moving. Somebody's punching so hard, they're making me hungry.
Oh, yeah, that's me, bro. Man, these chips be cracking. Man, these damn chips be cracking.
That's where the side effect for the Mary Jane to give you the money. It's all love. Hey, man.
I don't know. Yeah, man.
Girl, pack it up with that too. Now, here's a little bit of news. This is what I call, you know, our Black News Hour. And I think from now on, you know, we always have the Black Love series talking about different things. But I think I'm going to start another segment called Black Money. Because, you know, when we're talking in terms of things like we were talking tonight, that's kind of a money issue thing for us. And we need, you know, we want to cover everything that covers us and stuff. You know, we got our own version of a CNN. You know, I'm almost thinking of opening up a page and calling it the Black CNN so we can report on news of the day for our own stuff. I got a little tidbit here for you guys on this one tonight where we're talking, you know, Big Boy from Outkast. Evidently, Big Boy from Outkast was sitting with his daughter while interviewing with someone. It says here, Big Boy from Outkast calls Black CNN commentator a bitch in front of his daughter. So some folks commentator Mark Lamont Hill got the surprise of his life when he found out that the Big Boy rapper from Outkast didn't take kindly to his criticism of him. Hill had apparently made remarks on his Twitter account that some found disrespectful towards the rapper. In addition, Hill made the mistake of tweeting his comments towards Big Boy, a.k.a. Antoine Andre Patton. On Twitter, Hill asked the question, is Outkast's Big Boy Chris Bosh to Andre 3000's LeBron James? Hill also did a Health Post Live segment on the very same topic, and the remarks especially controversial with Outkast having a series of challenges over the last couple of years. Big Boy has been working to get Andre 3000 back on stage, and the group was just able to start making money again last year. So Big Boy didn't appreciate Hill's comments and used the Outkast BET experience to get his revenge. Hill was attending the show with his daughter at the time, and in front of his child, Big Boy referred to Mark as a bitch. The internet got one of their remarks, and even from Boston, but follow up, referring to Hill as a cornball fellow on CNN. And Hill apologized to Big Boy trying to smooth things over, but the Twitterverse can be cruel. And so those have been humiliated. Those have been humiliated in public. And Bomani Jones from that sports show that we all know and love, pardon the interruption, I don't like that show, Mike Wilbon is a coward and a cocksucker for talking shit about Floyd Mayweather and won't confront him with his remarks, calling him a coward over him not fighting back yet. But Monty Jones from ESPN publicly tried to tweet some sense into Hill and told him that you're on the wrong side of Big Boy. What do you think? Should scholars and rappers be battling one another in public? Why do you feel it's right to do this at all? So, I mean, that's a lesson for you. The two things you don't do is talk crazy to rappers, especially when they're burst on the microphone and got bravado or whatever. And the other thing is, don't sit up front in a comedy show, because they might just start talking about your ass if you sit there. That's the thing.
Damn.
Yeah. You know what I'm saying? And a second tidbit of news for tonight, we have some wild stuff again involving, Outkast, this time from Andre 3000. And DJ Quick says that Andre 3000 spreaded a rumor that he has AIDS. And that is really horribly rough. So there's a lot of ugly rumors that people can spread about one another, but the rumor about a deadly disease is hardly a laughing matter. It's even worse when you really, when there are really a lot of men and women carrying the virus and don't even know it. He said, did you ever think about how many friends, you would have had that didn't go to the doctor for more than 1 or 2 years? DJ Quick is fighting the rumors and has the monster that he claims the rumors were spread by a fellow hip-hop artist, Andre 3000. By the monster, he means the HIV and the AIDS. Quick went on Twitter to tell the public personally that the rumors aren't true and that he threw a little jab at Andre 3000 to making a funny inference to his prior relationship with singer Erykah Badu. Andre 3K told his brother that I was sick and turned it into DJ Quick got the monster, a big rumor in the Midwest. Thanks, Andre. Andre Badu Quick said. he said that he could make fun of Andre for disappointing millions of Outkast fans for breaking up the group and refusing to go on tour. Since Andre's exit, the group has been in a constant stalemate, not producing any new music or appearances for loyal public. And in the song Sorry that he did with the rapper, Andre seemed to be apologizing for freezing under all the big lights and attention. And maybe he should know that these are one of those lifetime opportunities and things are that other people dream of should not be put to waste. As far as DJ Quick and the AIDS rumor, we hope it's not true, but we had to show, but he may need to show a clean set of results to get people to believe him. DJ Quick, also known as David Marin Blake, is a pioneer of gangster rap. He's been around for 20 years and has offered, a $1 million bonus to sign with the Eazy-E and Death Row Records back in the day. And as far as we know, he's still in the studio producing. That's really kind of horrible, considering that a lot of the stuff that Andre 3000 wears and the way he looks a lot of times, that's awful bizarre coming from him when he'd be on some female-looking shit he'd be wearing. So I don't know. That's kind of crazy to hear all that coming out of him. He needs to really, slow that thing down. I sent you something, and I don't have the story here in front of me, Sugar Ray, but I need you to have your opinion. What do you think of Dr. Dre giving his son a thumbs down to play him in the story of N.W.A.
I don't give him the thumbs down to portray him.
Yeah, he told him no. He told him that he didn't want him playing him in that movie. And he looks just like Dre.
Yeah. Well, I don't know. Maybe, I don't know. But Dre, I don't really have very much to say about Dre lately, man. Dre has really turned into, he kind of reminds me of my worst bag of potato chips, man. You know, some poor skins, man. I hate the motherfuckers, man. And he just doesn't, I don't know. On that topic, I don't really have an idea or have an opinion on it. But as far as Dre, I'd have a pin on Dre, man. I think he's a billion-dollar simp. You know, I think he is, you know, him making what he get and get what he got, you know, based off what he's done, he's due for that, and he should be able to have that. But at the same time, man, I just don't like how, you know, how he, you know, I think it's Jimmy Iovine who's basically making all the calls. I think he's just basically the name. And that's the thing I kind of realized about a lot of these guys, man. Same thing with Dre, same thing with Jay-Z when it came down to the Brooklyn Nets. A lot of guys, man, are puppets, man. And the thing about it, I have a problem with guys that are that. You know, they play that role of being puppets, but every time you see Dre, you got this dude, this little weasel, Jimmy Iovine, right beside him all the time. And yeah, I'm serious, man. The headphones, the, you know, everything, man, everything going on with Dre. And as time goes on, man, who's crumbling, who's turned to a little weasel to me also, is starting to be Floyd Mayweather. I have big respect for Floyd as far as a boxer, but out the ring, I think he's a fucking joke, man. I mean, I see them guys, man, like Floyd, you know, Dre. I just don't know what to say about them, man, because they get so much. They get so much loot, man, and they just get to the point, man. They do some of the stupidest shit I ever seen in my life, man. Like Floyd, man, he had a strip club just making it rain, man. But you got cats out there, man, who in another situation, man, black man ain't got time, man, with big money like that, man, to be just throwing around to a bunch of white hookers. Come on, man. I mean, straight up, bro.
100,000 outlets, so when I come asking for some donations for my pot industry, I don't want to hear nothing.
You know what I'm saying? Yeah, man. You the thing about it, I'm just saying, what I'm saying is, man, it's like, I mean, these cats got money, man, but Dre, check this out. Dr. Dre, he, before he got the $1 billion, this dude threw $35 million at USC. Got some kind of degree program going on for USC with music. What's so cool about that is, man, you got some other colleges and other things going on that are suffering, that need money, ain't got nothing, but you can throw $35 million to USC? Really? There's something wrong with that shit, man.
Some of the dudes, I feel like we spoke about this Floyd Mayweather thing a couple nights back, man, and I feel like, you know, the dude is—he's just a regular guy. But as far as Dr. Dre, Jay-Z, those dudes is—they've become, I guess, what they call like moguls or something like that. So they're literally like every 98% of every action move they make is to endorse their product. I mean, so like that, man, and it's like. But I think when there's a worthy cause, I think these people are people that we could go to. You know what I mean? Believe it or not, see if it's something that I guess they on a business platform. If it's mutually beneficial, they'll support. But when it comes to the empowerment of a whole people. If a person's not willing to contribute to that in any type of way, then like what good is all, you know what I mean, all that money, you know what I mean? So I don't know.
I use an example, man. Dr. Umar Johnson. Look him up if you don't know him. He's starting a school, an all black school, all black boys school. It's called Frederick Douglass Marcus Garvey Academy. That's where he's starting. He's in the process of doing that, and he needs funds. And he's a well-rounded dude. He's a really, really great guy. And the thing is, it's a shame, man, that a guy like him, who is trying, who's in the process, he ain't trying, he will get it. But what I'm saying is making this. But you don't have people like the Jay-Z's or the Oprah's or the Dr. Dre's, or the guys who have money, who've been doing things for years, when you have something like that, maybe they have, or Floyd Mayweather, maybe they have, but I haven't heard anything about it. But then again, there has not been anything publicated about it, because they will be known. But what I'm trying to say is, they'll make it rain in the clubs. They'll do everything, and the Clippers need to be bought. They'll all throw up big money, and they're going to buy it. But this guy started the school, and ain't nobody putting nothing over there. Only person that I know that did some money, that put money to him and gave him money, was Tariq Nasheed. He gave money. And I can't think of anybody else, but this is something I'm saying, man. It gets no blacker than that, bro. I mean, that right there, it gets no blacker than that. An all-black boys' school called Frederick Douglass and Marcus Garvey Academy. Come on, man. It gets no blacker than that, bro.
So where is this at? That sounds like something I would like to be involved in. Marcus Garvey, man, I got to do some more research into that, but I'm Jamaican.
Look at
that. I don't
look,
know about
look
Marcus
at
Garvey.
Google, hey, check it out. Google Dr. Umar Johnson. It's Umar Johnson. Brother, you need to, I'm going to tell you this right now, bro. Hidden Colors 3 was already just showing your area. It's coming out July 4th on DVD. I already got my pre-order coming. Look into that, man. I'm telling you, man, look into that, brother, and study it, man. Think about it. Look at the people on there. Nas is on there. Paul Mooney on there. Dick Gregory on there. There's a lot of great guys on there, man. But think about it. The wealth of knowledge they have and they put in that information is put together so great, man. I can't wait. I am going nuts right now. I can't wait to get it, man. It comes out July 4th. I had it. To be shipped with one day only. Fuck it, I gave the max. If it could be delivered through email and just a push of a button, I want that too. Shit, if I could do it that fast,
yeah.
I mean, I want it.
So, there's a Hidden Colors 1 and 2 already.
Yes, Hidden One. You go to HiddenColorsFilm.com. It's Hidden Colors 1, Hidden Colors 2, or you can get it off Amazon. It's already out. Hidden Colors 1 and 2.
Okay, so I'll watch those tonight because I'm tech savvy. So any material, what I'm able to do, I can download software. I can download any software. I get all my apps on iTunes for free through the Freedom of Information Act. But I don't redistribute them. I don't try to, like, you know, make money off of it. I just use it so I can be informed. So, like, any program, so, for example, you know, I mean, basically, programs, Pro Tools, music, anything, I download it for free. That's what I'm going to do. I'll watch those two movies tonight, and then I'll check, probably watch Hidden Colors 3 if I get a chance, maybe.
And, you know, here's the type of stupid shit that happens right here. The reason why you can't make it on the regular television, and one of the things that kind of keep hold of back and does crazy things for the 9 to 5 gravity. There's a BET Awards party. Several people shot at a BET Awards party. ABC recently claimed that a shadow has been placed over the BET Awards. So the person was killed right before the show and 4 others were injured during an incident that has embarrassed the company and has been often criticized for promoting violent music at the expense of the blacks. Well, y'all don't worry about that because y'all are putting a fuckery on us. But, we don't care about that. So an overnight party held early Sunday Hollywood was promoted the award show. There was a gunman who was still at large, according to police. Officer Drake Madison of the LAPD said the shooting took place at 5:17 a.m. 5 o'clock in the morning. So the shooter shot several rounds at partygoers. The defenders were taken to the hospital, and the shootings took place over the Mona Lisa restaurant and banquet hall. And the event, even though the awards, you know, show it was tonight, so they did a pre-party. Said all the organizers will continue to maintain a safe environment. Drake was set to perform, but it's not going to attend. And, you know, they kept all the rest of the stars out. But this is the kind of stupid shit that happens. But, you know, and that's a tragedy enough. But what kind of burns me up as I'm reading that is you know, they always want to criticize, you know, African-American stations. Well, that used to be an African-American station owned by white people now. Talking about violent music. But you assholes always are playing violent movies, racist movies, racist programming. You know, CSI, Clint Eastwood, who's is killing 36 people per cowboy movie. But you're worried about music being played, displaying something. But you have all your violent programs, which is, like I said before, redundantly silly. But, you know, the bad news in this whole thing is that, you know, you see this kind of stuff going on. That's really horrible that it happened. So in just a moment, 804, 216, who do we have on deck? Okay, I guess you just wanted to listen in. 804? All right, that's okay.
Yeah,
okay, fam. Hey, who we got on deck tonight?
Yeah, bro, I'm just listening in. This 24 Dread.
Oh, not a problem. Not a problem. Thanks for joining the show tonight. We had a real good show tonight. Feel free to call in the future. You know, the same number. You know, write them down because we have shows almost 7 days a week covering a range of topics. You know, sometimes it's sports. Most of the time it's black-related subjects, black news. So glad to have you as a new member, you know, calling in. Feel free. Where is 804 at?
It's VA.
Oh, I like that. I like that. I like that. That's great, family. Thanks for calling. I appreciate you calling in for the show. But, you know, it's just a shame, man, when you sit up here and we have these award shows and stuff. And I complain all the time, you know, to the point of nauseam about how we don't make it on television, on regular TV, and how they kind of sidebar our acts. And you see these shootings and this weird kind of stuff going down. It just kind of sucks to see that happening, man, because it makes it whack for the performers. It makes it whack for the people that want to put stuff on and everything like that. But what has to be understood, and they probably don't put it out there enough, is that BET is no longer owned by us. But, you know, let's not get it twisted. Let's not always try to blame the music for all the ills that go on in our communities and stuff, because, like I said, the alleged dominant society has more than their share of faux-pas and screw-ups and warmongering and actuality violence than we could ever conceive. I mean, the very act of how we got here was a violent act and continued to be a violent act for some 500 years now. Matter of fact, speaking of which, there was another story that came out today about a professor, or yesterday, about a professor who was walking on a sidewalk, an unimproved sidewalk. So she, you know, she kind of had to walk along the curb in order to get to where she was going. She was a professor at Arizona State University. And evidently, this cop snatched her up, you know, almost hit her in his car, and jumps out of his car and stuff and tells her that, you know, she was jaywalking and everything. But the reason she jumped out of the way is because he almost hit her when she was out there on the street. And he didn't know that she was a professor. So naturally, he's a rookie, and they're saying, oh, it was a rookie mistake. They set up and he grabs the girl and throws her to the ground after she says, well, look, I'm just walking along the street here, you know, because as you can see, the sidewalk is under construction, so that's why I'm doing it. She said, the way you're driving, you know, you almost hit me. So the first thing out of his mouth was like they always do. They start asking for her ID. And so naturally she said, well, no, I'm not going to give you my ID because I wasn't doing anything wrong. I'm just trying to get to where I was going to, and you almost hit me with your car. That's how come I had to jump out of the way. Long story short, after slamming her on the ground, it wasn't until they looked at her ID, saw that she was a professor of whatever it is she was a professor of, and then all of a sudden they wanted to recant their story. And the sad part is that the university said, well, yeah, they, you know, the police were within their rights to do what they needed to do. And because they filed such a big petition against the officers and wanted all the charges dropped because of not only the way it went down, but the fact that the cops were actually in the wrong, then Arizona State wants to kind of, you know, recant back up. But, I mean, this is Arizona we're talking about. So with a guy like Sheriff Arpaio out there and having people living out in tents and 110-degree weather out there, in the little jail or prison out there, it's not surprising that, you know, something like this would happen. But, you know, our women, you know, face two things. They face not only the usual brand of racism, but, of course, they have the woman factor that they have to deal with as well. So, I mean, there's a lot of stuff that's going on out here that's newsworthy that we're going to continue to try to keep up with and get opinions on. But it's just a lot of crazy stuff going on out here that shouldn't happen. And like I said before, hopefully, God willing, you know, we can get some resolution on some of these matters. But, you know, some of those little earlier stories that I was talking about was just kind of some stuff to kind of break things up because it's just about that time to terminate. But, you know, I appreciate you fellas coming out tonight and supporting the show and everything. Like I said, tomorrow is Wednesday, although I generally don't run a show on Wednesday. I'm quite sure that there's going to be some general topics or some stuff we can talk about tomorrow and stuff. It's so hot outside up here in Portland. I just don't feel like going outside tomorrow. So I'm going to sit up here and create something for us to ponder over. This has been Black Love. Will legal weed mean money in the black community? And, you know, we'll have to kind of, you know, weigh things out and see how things go with that. I wouldn't count on it, but, you know what I'm saying, we'll see how it happens. We'll just see what happens. Should have regularly dropped a disclaimer for us, and I'm going to leave you guys with Scarface's Mary Jane. Again, that's what the show is about tonight. Sugar Ray.
Yeah.
Go ahead and drop it for us.
Oh, yeah, man. Hey, all you listeners, thanks for listening. All the callers, thanks for calling. And whatever you do, go through life and basically keep your head up. Don't let nothing get you down. And understand revolution. It's not an event. It's a process. So stay active. Stay active.
All right. That's working all day. For all the callers out there, you know what I'm saying? Again, this has been Black Love. And feel free to check us out on programs on Blog Talk Radio. You can also find us on the Flossy Jeezy Show worldwide on Facebook, Twitter, and Google. So for my man, the Boogie Down Bronx man, named Andrew and Sugar Ray, we're going to leave you with a little bit of Scarface. You know what I'm saying? Talking about that Mary Jane. God bless y'all and good night. Have mercy. Oh, yeah.
Your name every day.
to keep you sane. Mary Jane, I love you, Mary Jane. All I need to get me through this thing, through the game.